Proverbs is composed of 900 wise sayings, covering all aspects of daily living. But it's not a set of rules. It's God's guidelines for life. It's wisdom from heaven for living here on earth now. It deals with how God made us, how he made us to live, how he made us to work, how he made us to relax. And it contains instruction of how to relate to friends, how to relate to family, how to relate to employers, how to relate to government. But as well as instructions about what we do, it's got a lot to say about what we say, about our words. Last time we started thinking about our words, and we saw that words are very powerful things. In fact, Proverbs 18 verse 21 says this. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death. What an amazing, amazing verse. A book of Proverbs, they're saying that what I say actually has, the words that I have power in them, such power that they've got power to either give life or to give death. Amazing, amazing thing to contemplate and think about. Often I just say whatever I want to say. Actually, what I say carries with it power. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Last time we started looking at some of the negative things that come out of our mouths, moaning, complaining. In fact, Apostle Paul tells the Christians in Philippi, in Philippians 2:14, he says, do all things without complaining. Some versions, do all things without moaning. Do all things without grumbling. Paul tells us to go back to the Old Testament, look at the people of God there, and see how they complained, they moaned. In fact, as you go through the book of Exodus and see the people of God, they moaned and complained about the food, about the water, about Moses, about God, everything. And how God dealt with that moaning and complaining is very serious. But today we're going to look at the positive aspects of what we say. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the amazing book of Proverbs, this practical wisdom from heaven. Lord, would you soften our hearts that we would receive, that we would hear, that we would be changed by your very living words. Thank you that all your words are good. Thank you all your words are powerful. Thank you all your words are living. Lord, would your words strike our hearts today, Lord? Amen. If English isn't your first language, spelling of some of the English words can be strange. Nick had a poem. I've got a poem this morning. I didn't make this one up, but it's a fun one. And it illustrates the bizarre spelling of English language. So Joe, can you put the first verse up of my poem? This just illustrates what a strange language it is that we speak. Because bear is spelt like bear, as pear is spelt like pear, but tear is pronounced tear and tear. Then here is like here, and seer like seer, and deer and shear like deer and shear. But beat's not like great, nor beak like break, and neither is freak like steak. While beam, strange to say, rhymes with seam, as well as cream and dream. Fane, dane, rain rhyme with fane, dane, rain, as well as skein, rain and vain. Although so is like so, and new is like new, and you we pronounce you. Though dough rhymes with toe and rough with rough, enough, tough and suff rhyme with gruff, but cough rhymes with off and bow with bow, like with plough the same as plough, and bow like bow, and dough like dough, glow, grow and oh like go. Growl is like owl, while groan, moan, and own don't rhyme with brown, but with bone. Yes, I did it. What a incredible, what a language. There are 800,000 words in our English language. And so if you're learning English, I know some of us are learning English at the moment, there's plenty here to take away from this morning's talk. Because of the 800,000 words in our English language, it gives us, in terms of world languages, an incredible variety of words to use. Average person knows about 10,000. Average person only uses about 5,000. But there are 800,000 to choose from. And many of those words are very negative words, and many of those words are very positive words. There's a lot of hype about positive words. Just look on the internet, if you just type in positive words, there's incredible hype surrounding the thing of positive words. For example, there's a Japanese photographer called Dr. Emoto. He's published millions of books, well, sold millions of books, and he's made a lot of money over what he proposes are the power of positive words and the power of negative words. What his experiments suppose is that if you get water and you cool it as it crystallizes, that if you speak negative words over that water, you get sort of amorphous, horrible shapes. If you speak positive words, you get crystals, lovely, beautiful crystals. Let's have some pictures, Joe. So this is his book. If you're speaking negative words over crystal ice as it's crystallizing, this is what he proposes. You get these kind of pictures. And the next one, Joe. These are words like accused, agitated, arrogant, baffled, betrayed, bitter, chaotic, conceited, critical, deceitful, demanding, destroyed, dreary, embarrassed, feeble, forsaken, gloomy, grim, hardened, harsh, heartless, hopeless, inadequate, intimidated, jealous, joyless, lacking, limited, malicious, mistreated, negative, obnoxious, obstinate, pained, prejudiced, rebellious, regretful, rejected, remorseful, resilient. No, I was wrong. Resistant, ruthless, sarcastic, spiteful, stingy, stubborn, tactless, unhappy, unpleasant, vindictive, and violent. Yuck. So he's saying if you speak those words as this ice crystals, those are pictures you get. But he's saying if you speak positive words over ice crystals as they are forming, you get these pictures. Here we go, Joe. Beautiful pictures of ice. If you say accepted, accomplished, admired, adorable, affirmative, agree, astounding, authentic, blessed, bountiful, brave, brilliant, calm, cheering, cherish, closeness, confident, conviction, courageous, creative, delight, eager, embrace, enthuse, esteem, exquisite, flourish, friendship, genuine, gratitude, happy, harmony, honest, imaginative, incredible, joy, jubilation, learn, lively, marvelous, meaningful, miracle, nourish, open, optimistic and plentiful, productive and protective, quiet and rejoice and secure and sincere and spiritual and spontaneous and sunny. Sunny. There's a good one. This week is sunny. Support and thankful and thrilled and thrive and trust and unity and valued and vibrant and welcome and wholesome and wonderful. Amazing. So it's not so much nicer saying those nice words than those negative words, isn't it? And unfortunately, someone offered him $1 million if he could prove what he said, what he's published was true, and he can't. And so actually, words spoken over, it maybe come as no surprise to you, but words spoken over ice crystals have no effect at all. But here's the rub, because words spoken over people have a lot of effect. And so whereas ice crystals is a load of rubbish, actually, words are very, very powerful to the human heart. Words are very, very powerful to the human spirit. Words are incredibly, incredibly effective in either giving life or giving death. I've got a short video to show you, just the power of words.
Within our words, an unseen power is set in motion. The tongue is a small thing, but like a tiny spark, can set a great forest on fire. Once spoken, our words begin blazing a trail through the hearts and lives of those around us. One kind word can demolish guilt. It can inspire hope. But the same words have also embraced hatred and executed innocence. Once spoken, our words scorch through feelings and emotions on a level that only they can produce. Your words set up a chain of events beyond your control and of which you will never know. One word can destroy beliefs, harden hearts, or cultivate hatred. But they can also demonstrate faith, display forgiveness, and nurture love. The power of life and death lies in a single word, and we, the image of God, have this power. In one word.
Now this morning we're going to look at Proverbs and just see what it teaches us about what we say, about the words that come out of our mouth. Because Proverbs teaches us that negative words can be very destructive. For example, Proverbs 12:22 says, "The Lord detests lying lips." There's something about lying that the Lord detests. And Proverbs 26:28 says, why? It's because a lying tongue hates those it hurts. It's destructive. Negative words could be like flattery. For example, in Proverbs 26:28, it says, a flattering mouth works ruin. There's something, if I'm flattering someone, I'm actually destroying, I'm actually bringing ruin into someone's life. Negative words like gossip. Gossip, according to Proverbs 17:9, says, whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Gossip destroys friendships. It betrays and destroys friends. It creates strife. In Proverbs 26:20, it says, without wood, a fire goes out, and without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Negative words like cursing, especially cursing one's parents. Proverbs 20:20, if someone curses their father or their mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. But also Proverbs tell us that positive words, positive things I say, can be a great blessing. Proverbs 10:11, it says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Something good can come out of your mouth that can actually be like a fountain giving life to those around you. Proverbs 10:20, it says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. That the words that come out of our mouths can be like as precious as silver to the people that hear them and get them. Proverbs 10:21, it says, the lips of the righteous nourish many. In other words, I can, with my words, I can give nourishment to those around me, to people, my family, my friends, those at work, those my neighbors. What can come out of my mouth can actually nourish people around me. Also, Proverbs 12:25 says that our positive words can be comforting. Anxiety weighs down a heart, but a kind word cheers it up. And positive words can be the right thing at the right time. Proverbs 15:23, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply. How good is a timely word? Just saying the right thing at the right time can make the whole difference. In fact, some situations can completely be transformed. Some broken completely at the end relationships can be healed and transformed by saying the right thing at the right time. The power of words. Let's be honest this morning. We all have a lot to say. If we're honest about it, we've all got lots of things we could say and lots of things we do say every day in our families, friends, neighbours, workplace. Now, our key verse today, because we're going to look at what Proverbs teaches us. I've got a verse from the New Testament to kind of hang it, structure it on today. Because Proverbs is clear that although I've got a lot to say, actually I'm not free to say whatever I want to say. That I'm not, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, I'm not free just to say anything that comes into my head. That I'm not free just to unburden my heart. I'm not free to get it off my chest. I'm not free just to say what comes into my mind. I'm not free just to reply the first thing that comes into my head. Ephesians 4:29 is going to be our key verse for today. Ephesians 4:29, Paul says this. Joke, have it up on the acetate. It says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Paul's making 6 points here. We're going to go through these just briefly, just quick whiz through these six things. The six things he's saying. Firstly, he says, do not let. Do not let. In other words, he's saying, you have a choice. I can never say, he made me say it, she made me say it. I just reacted. It just came out of my mouth. I just didn't have a choice. It was out of my mouth before I could think about it. Actually, Paul is saying, do not let. In other words, it's volitional. I have a choice. And the first choice I have is whether I open my mouth at all or not. In any situation, whether it's a good situation or a bad situation, whether it's challenging, difficult, the first choice I have is, do I even open my mouth? Because there are many, many situations where actually the right thing to do, the godly thing to do, the thing that God wants me to do is keep it zipped, is actually say nothing. Let's look at a few Proverbs. Proverbs 10:19 says, "He who holds his tongue is wise." Have you ever reacted, said something and thought, "Oh, that wasn't very clever. I wish I hadn't said that." Because I reacted impulsively. I just responded and it wasn't wise. Sometimes I'm cleaning my teeth. I squeeze the toothpaste and I squeeze it a bit too hard. And a bit too much comes out onto the toothbrush. Have you ever tried to get toothpaste back into the tube? It's just not going to go. Once it's out, it's out. And something about our words is once we're squeezed by a situation and it splurts out. It's there. It's been said. Now we can say sorry. And of course we should say sorry. But that doesn't alter the fact is it's been said. And so the first wisdom for us this morning is actually there are many, many times where I'm tempted to say something witty, cutting, or whatever, respond to some situation when actually the godly, the right thing to do is to say nothing. Proverbs 12:18 says this, "Rash words are like sword thrusts." See, rash word is a word that's just said without thinking. I just say it. I just respond to a situation. Someone says something to me, I say something back. It's a rash word. It's like the thrust of a sword. It's that damaging. Proverbs 13:3 says, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." The thing about what you say is it will come back to haunt you. Either in this life or when we stand before God, every word, God hears every word is recorded. And so we have to be careful what we say. James 1 verse 26 says this, "Those who consider themselves religious." Now James is using the word religious. Often we use the word religion in a not a good way. I comparing it to spiritual. Here, James is using the word religious, meaning spiritual, godly, wanting to love God. He's using it in a good way. He says this, "Those who consider themselves spiritual and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, they deceive themselves, and their religion or their spiritual progress is worthless." Wow, do you see James is really holding, he's really letting us have it here very straight. He's saying, look, you could be doing great in lots of areas of your life, but if your tongue's not tamed, if what's coming out of your mouth is just rash stuff, actually what you could be living is worthless. Proverbs 21:23, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity." Proverbs 29:20, "Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than him." There's a tombstone. There's an epitaph written on a tombstone, an English country churchyard. And this epitaph is very short. It's the morning of poems today. It's only a few lines. It says, "Beneath this stone is a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue." That's her epitaph. She was obviously a talker. And the only thing that could shut her up was death. Nothing else could shut Arabella up. She just kept talking and talking and talking. And the end of her talking came when she died. That was the epitaph. That's the best thing they could think to put on her grave. See, sometimes it's important to say nothing. In fact, Proverbs is quite helpful because Proverbs gives us 15 examples. Doesn't leave us guessing. Proverbs is a very, very practical book. It gives us 15 examples when I need to keep this closed and I might be tempted just to say something. Let's have a look at that list of things. What it says, these are 15 examples when Proverbs says it's better actually to say nothing. In the heat of anger, it's better to say nothing. Just wait until I've calmed down. Many a word has been said in anger that then you wish you hadn't said. When you don't have all the facts, when I think I kind of just, I got a kind of a, there's something quite not right, and I just blurt out whatever I think my opinion is. The world is full of opinions. World's full of opinions. It says, actually, be careful. Keep your mouth shut. Actually, sometimes, point three is it's actually time I should be listening. So I should be listening rather than trying to get my point in. Sometimes I've caught myself waiting for someone to finish so I can start speaking. So just while I'm there listening, I'm not really listening. I'm just waiting until they shut up. As soon as they shut up, then I'm there with my point. I'm not actually listening to them at all. I just want them to get my point. Number four, when I'm tempted to joke about sin, make something which is not funny, make it funny. If I would be ashamed, number five, of my words later. So actually, later on, when I reflect on that, should I actually have said that? Perhaps not. If words convey the wrong impression, so actually what I'm saying is something which is building a picture which isn't true. I'm actually exaggerating or saying something which is not actually how it actually is. I'm trying to manipulate a person, manipulate a situation, put myself in a better light. If the issue is none of your business, I cannot listen to talk about radio, where they get people with opinions, just opinions about football, about politicians, or I just cannot listen to people going on and on and on with just opinions about things, many of which actually are none of their business. When you're tempted to tell an outright lie, be quiet. Number nine, if our words could damage someone else's reputation, don't say it. If it could make another person look in a bad way, don't say it. If the words could damage a friendship. Number 11, if I can't say it without screaming it, that means I'm in a kind of a state where I'm shouting, the person who I'm talking to is shouting, and it's kind of getting louder and louder as we're kind of screaming at each other. Don't say it, say nothing. If I may have to eat my words later, I actually say something and actually I'll have to go and say, I'm really sorry, that was out of order, what I said wasn't true, I'll have to actually eat my words. Number 13, if I've already said it more than one time, you said it and I've said it again, I'm saying it louder, you're not listening to me, so I'm going to say it even louder and I keep on saying it. Number 14, when I'm tempted to flatter a wicked person. Number 15, when I'm supposed to be working. So have you noticed in the workplace, some people would rather sit and chat than work? And he's saying here, there's a point actually where I've got to keep my mouth shut and just get on. I'm being paid to work and not to chat. See, in a world full of opinions, our world is so full of opinions and words. And yet actually, as Christians, I've got to first of all learn to keep my mouth shut on many occasions. But then Paul continues, if I am going to open my mouth, if it is wisdom, if it is a good time to open my mouth, then Paul says, Ephesians 4:29, back to our key verse, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. The first thing is a negative thing. Do not let, if I'm going to open my mouth, be careful that what I say is not unwholesome. And in the Colossians 3 verse 8, Paul says this to the church in Colossae. You must rid yourselves of things such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. No angry words, no malice, no nasty words, no slander, no tearing downwards, no filthy language, no swearing. Have you ever said something, opened your mouth, and you can see the words leaving, you almost wish, can I have those words back, please? Can we stop and wind the whole thing back? Because they've gone out of my mouth. And see, unwholesome talk includes gossip. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of the gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost part. There's something spiritual about gossip in a negative way. There's something that feeds a real negative evil in people about gossip. Have you noticed when two people are talking? A natural thing is to kind of want to, what are they saying? You want to eavesdrop. It's natural. If there's some juicy bit of goss going around, it's very natural. It's fallen human nature to want to listen, want to get the latest gossip. Now, the workplace is the most challenging of places for gossip because it's the daily fare of office life or work life. Gossip is what keeps the wheels of work going. And so it's a tremendous challenge for us as those that want to serve God, love God. How do we respond to gossip? And we such need God's wisdom. Daily we need wisdom to know, how do I respond? Do I respond by saying nothing? Do I respond by saying something positive? Sometimes with gossip, it can be best just to say nothing. And by saying nothing, that speaks so powerfully because it means I'm not agreeing with what you're saying, whatever it is. Sometimes actually me saying something positive, everyone in the office is slagging, stabbing someone in the back. They've gone out to make a cup of coffee. As soon as the door closes, the gossip flies backwards and forwards about that person. And if I just say, it takes tremendous courage, but there is a time, there is a place, just to say something positive. Because you know when you go out to make a coffee, they're all going to be talking about you anyway. But it's a tremendous challenge. I don't want to, on this thing of gossip, I think we need to pray for strength. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for each other because it's a place where we can shine in the world is in this area of gossip because it so burdens and pollutes our culture in this country. There are some things that we just ought not to say. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 3 verse 13. This is the problem of being idle, of having too much time on my hands. He says this is warning to Timothy. If you get the habit of being idle and then just going from house to house and then becoming an idler, becoming a gossip and a busybody, saying things they ought not to. God's given us work, whether it's caring for the family, whether it's being out in the workplace, whether it's voluntary work, whatever kind of work it is, the work of evangelism, the work of prayer, whatever it is, God has given us work. And God knows we need to be active because the problem if we're not active and engaged is we end up being idlers, gossips, busybodies, and then end up saying things that we ought not to say. So there are some things we just ought not to say. I'm not free as a follower of Jesus to say what I like. I'm not free to express my opinion. I'm not free just to say whatever comes between these two ears in my head. I'm not free. Actually, there are some things that I ought not to say. So let's turn this looking more positively now. What does Paul say? Back to our key verse, which is Ephesians 4 verse 29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful. So the first thing Paul wants us to understand is what comes out of my mouth must be helpful. It must be something helpful. If I'm going to open my mouth, it's got to be helpful. Proverbs 15:4 says this. What a lovely verse. Listen to this. The soothing tongue is a tree of life. If as I talk, the words I use and the heart I use those words, I bring those words through. If it soothes your pain, your difficulties, the things you face, the hardships, actually it becomes a tree of life. Life flows, spiritual life flows. In fact, Paul tells Titus how I should be speaking in Titus 3 verse 2. He says, when you talk, speak evil of nobody. Avoid quarreling. Some people are looking for a fight. They're looking to quarrel all the time, to argue. You say something, they say the opposite. And sometimes they're just playing devil's advocate. They don't actually believe that the opposite at all. They're just looking for a bit of a fight. He's saying here, avoid quarreling, be gentle, that my words would be gentle. And then he says this, he says, show perfect courtesy towards all people. That I'm treating each person with respect, whether they're socially higher than me, socially lower than me, in whatever estimation we may have, someone who's begging on the street, that whatever I do, but I'm showing courtesy. Actually, I'm respecting them as a person by my choice of words. Look what it says in Proverbs 17, verse 9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love. It's not talking about covering over sin here. What it's talking about is if there's a problem or a difficulty, just keep raking it up again. Here we go again. Let's rake it up. And I'm just going to keep on going on about this negative thing that you did 2 years ago. And I'm just going to keep on bringing it up. He's saying, no, we're love. I'm actually going to cover that in love with prayer. And I'm not going to keep on going on about it. Proverbs 25 verse 11 says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. It's beautiful. See, a word that's the right thing to say at the right time is beautiful. What it means is this, what looks like an apple of gold, something in gold set in silver. And you look at it, you go, wow, that is beautiful. So my words, your words, can carry beauty with them that would touch someone's heart, change their heart, bless their heart. Some people feel that they can say whatever they like because they feel they're saying the truth. And they use Ephesians 4 verse 15 as justification. It says, speak the truth in love. I said, well, I want to tell this person the truth. I mean, they need to know the truth. And I'm going to do it in love. Don't worry. Don't worry. This will be in love. But they need to know the truth. And actually, it was taking this whole verse out of context. Because what a person says when they mean that is, I want to tell them the truth and I'm going to love telling them. I am going to love telling them this truth. I'm going to so love it. They're really going to hear it and I'm going to love this. Actually, what this is saying is actually there's if there is need to be honest, and there is need to be honest. I'm not saying this morning there isn't times and right places and opportunities to share honestly. But actually the whole thing needs to be bathed in a genuine love for the other person. In other words, how is the other person going to receive this? How are they going to hear this? How is this going to impact their life? The love is there, is love for them, not I'm going to love doing this. See, sometimes I think, I've just got to get something off my chest. I need to go and see that person. I just need to get it off my chest because it's really just getting too much. So I'm going to go and I'm going to tell them. I'll tell them the truth. I'll tell them in love. But I'm going to tell them because I just need to get off my... And so I go in to see the person. And all this frustration and resentment and anger, I just dump it all out on them. I go, phew, that feels better now. Phew, God, I feel better now. I've got it all off my chest. Thanks, great, I'm off. And what I've done is I've taken all that stuff in me and I've just dumped it on another person. And I actually, it's not about how I feel. Our key verse is Ephesians 4, 29. It's all about how is the listener, how is the person I'm talking to, how are they going to respond? How is it going to do for them? What's it going to do to them, for them? It's not about me. It's not about me. The bottom line of when I'm talking is it's not what I want to communicate and what I want to get over and what I feel you need to know. It's the tables are completely turned and Paul's saying, think about the listener. Because when you open your mouth, is it helpful? Is it helpful? The fourth thing he says here is he says it's helpful for building others up. So the goal in what I'm saying, when I'm opening my mouth, I'm talking, is I want to ensure that if you're listening to me, that I am building you up. I'm not tearing down, putting you in the place, giving you a piece of my mind, setting the record straight. What I'm actually questioning is am I building you up? So if I'm talking to you, my attitude, my heart, my mind, am I, by what I'm saying, building you up? It's a fantastic theme in the New Testament is this theme of building one another up. Because the heart of it is, I want you to be blessed. The heart of it is, when I finish talking to you, I want you to be lifted up. The heart of it is, when we finish spending some time together, I want you to be closer to Jesus, love him more, be more filled with him, and be more comforted in his love. That's the heart of what it means to build someone up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build each other up. The goal of church is that I would build you up, you would build the person next to you, the person next to you would build someone else, that together we would build each other up. So we're looking, we're coming together, what can I do to bless this person? What can I do to bless that person? What can I do to build up my neighbours here in the church? And one way of doing that is Colossians 3:16. Teach, admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Spiritual things that I can share what God's been speaking to me through the Psalms. And that's a tremendous encouragement. I always find it so encouraging when someone says, do you know what God was saying to me yesterday? I was reading the Bible. As I was praying yesterday, God. And that's a tremendous encouragement hearing what God is doing, sharing a testimony. I prayed for this. And by God's grace, God answered in this way. What an encouragement. I feel built up. I feel strengthened. I feel closer to Jesus because I see God is real. God's on the move. I'm strengthened. And so through sharing spiritual good things with each other, there's a building, there's a strengthening, there's something coming up. Next thing he says is this, where he says, go back to our key verse, which is Ephesians 4 and 29. It says, building others up according to their needs. Do you see what he's saying? It's very, very clear. He's saying according to their needs. In other words, I'm coming to you and I'm mindful of your needs. Do you need encouragement? Do you need my prayer? Do you need me listening to you? Do you need just someone just to offload today with the tensions, difficulties, struggles, hassles? That as I come to speak, do you see that? As I come to speak to someone, my focus is on your needs. Not on what I, not my needs, not what I'm trying to communicate, but your needs as a person that I'm speaking to. How can I bless this person? I love this verse, you know, because I think it changes my whole attitude about how I communicate, about how I talk, about what I say. Rather than seeking to try and make myself understood, rather than seeking to have my opinion heard, rather than wanting to put my point of view, Paul's saying, when you speak, fit in what you're saying with the listener. Think about them. Think, what you're saying, how's that going to build them up? How's it going to strengthen them? What are the needs of this person I'm listening to, I'm trying to talk to? Hebrews 10:24 tells us, consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And one major way of spurring one another is talking. That as I talk to you, I can encourage you and spur you on and say, come on, there's more. Let's together move into more that God's got for us. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. This is incredible. What he's saying is that when someone speaks to you, you can actually, it feels like it's sweet. And if you experience healing in your inner body, in your bones, just through words, just through the words, because someone blesses you, takes an interest, genuinely cares, and wants to bless you. Lastly, our last point, number six, is says this. It says that what I say may, but can I go back to the Ephesians 4? There it goes. The last bit says that what I say may benefit those who listen. So the whole point of me speaking is how can I benefit you? The whole point of speaking is how can I benefit you? I love this psalm. Psalm 49:3 says, my mouth will speak words of wisdom. What a lovely vision that what comes out of my mouth would be words of wisdom to bless you, encourage you. Now, finishing this morning, I want to finish with a very, with what I've called the benefit test. And the benefit test is before I open my mouth and say something, just I've got to check, is what I'm going to say, will it be a benefit? Joe, can we have the benefit test up for us, please? This is the benefit test. And so before I open my mouth, is it going to bless you? As I'm going to talk to you, is what I say going to be a blessing? Now, of course, there are times where we need to be honest. And there are times where we may need to say some hard things and some things that aren't easy to say. And there's a time and there's a place and there's a way of doing that. But this is talking about actually the everyday conversations. And even if it is a hard conversation that you need to have to me, you can still do it in a way which is a blessing. Is it an encouragement? Is what you're going to say, will it end up with encouraging that person? Or will they end up feeling, oh, that person's been talking to me now for 5 minutes and will they shut up? Are you looking around? How can I get out of this conversation? Oh, there's a cup of tea over there. I'm off. As I'm talking to you, am I encouraging you? What I'm going to say, is it necessary? You see, sometimes, actually, when I talk, I can be passing on information about other people. Unnecessary for you to know that. Is it necessary for you to know those things? Sometimes, because I know something, I could think, well, you know, I'm just going to, and have you heard about what's happening with whatever? actually, is it necessary that I say that, whatever it is on my mind, particularly to do with gossip? But actually, is it necessary what I'm going to say? Is it edifying? The word edify is a lovely Bible word. And it's that Bible word which means to build up. So that you start off kind of low and struggling. And as you're edified, you get stronger. You feel blessed. You feel strengthened. Something good inside. And whilst we can edify ourselves, actually, it's very important part of church life is that we edify each other. We build each other up. Is it false? None of us tell outright lies, but I can exaggerate. What I'm doing sometimes is I'll say something and I'll just kind of miss out a few things and just exaggerate a bit in what I'm saying so that it kind of alters the kind of weight of the situation. It makes it look a bit different. If I'm trying to get someone to do something, I can just pick, I'll say this and this and this. That would then paint a picture that mean they'd be more likely to do whatever I'm asking them to do. But it's not true. It's false. I'm giving a false impression. Am I being indiscreet? Actually, discretion is keeping what you know to yourself about other people. It's actually just in my heart, it's wanting to say, how can I bless this person? But whatever that person shares with me, it's for my prayers. It's for my prayers and to encourage them and bless them and stand with them. Am I being indiscreet? And lastly, is it true? None of us, as I said, none of us say outright total lies. But actually, I've caught myself just exaggerating my own role in something. So in retelling a story, I end up looking a bit better than actually I was actually in that story. And I end up putting myself in a position where people think, oh, actually, he's not a bad chap. When actually, in reality, it wasn't like that. Is what I'm saying true? This is the benefit test. What we're talking about this morning is very harsh. It's very hard in a sense. Proverbs is like that. Proverbs is very hard hitting. Because the writer of the Proverbs, God has given us Proverbs that I can practically examine my life, examine how I am and say, God, would you do a miracle? Would you change me? Would you continue this process of making me more like Jesus? And so this morning we've looked in a mirror at how I am and how God wants me to be. And we say, God, would you please come and do something in me powerfully? God, I want you to get hold of my tongue. I want you to get hold of my words. God, would you give me this vision of speaking in such a way? Let's close our eyes. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you that your word is uncompromisingly clear to us. And Lord, we confess we need your help, Holy Spirit of God, if we could live in this way that you intend us to live. Father, thank you for all the blessing that flows in this church. Thank you for all the wonderful edification, encouragement, discretion, and honor that flows one to another. And Lord, we celebrate that this morning. We thank you so much for the wonderful, wonderful goodness that flows in conversations across this place. Lord, we're asking you particularly today, would you help us to grow in these things? Lord, would we be those who would be mindful about our conversation? Will you help us to think when we speak and what we say? Would you deliver us from rash words? Would you give us a heart of compassion for each other, that with our words we would nourish, with our words we would bless, that with our words we would lift up and edify, O God? Father, bring each one of us, Lord, today and asking, God, would you forgive us where we've exaggerated, told a little lie, said something that's not true, joined in with gossip, whatever, Lord, would you forgive us? Would you forgive us, O God? And would you help us, Lord, to shine as your lights? We would be different in what we say. God, could we shine as lights, Lord? Just while we're quiet this morning, if you struggle at work, if at work is just such a terrible gossip pit, then just join me as we're going to pray this morning, asking for God's mercy, asking for God to help you, asking for God to give creative ways of challenging and overcoming and being different in such an environment. Lord, we confess the sin of this nation, the delight in gossip, the delight in tearing down and destroying, Lord. We confess the sin of this nation and ask for your mercy in Jesus' name. Many of the places we work, Lord, are terrible, terrible, evil places in their conversation. And Lord, we ask for your incredible mercy on those places. Lord, would you empower us? Would you help us, Lord, to be different? I pray, Holy Spirit, would you fill us with words from heaven? Would you help us, O Lord, that we could be different? Could we shine, Lord? Could we shine for you? Holy Spirit, would you inspire us with creative ways that we will be able to be different for you, Lord? I just feel this morning, I just want to pray for you if you feel that the negative words of others have destroyed, torn down, hurt, and damaged something inside you. We saw that negative words didn't have any effect at all on ice crystals, but they certainly do have negative effect on a human heart, spirit, soul, and mind. And if, as I've been talking, if you felt stirred emotionally, as I've been talking this morning, you felt that something stirred in your heart where you've remembered what other people have said to you, what other people have said about you, how other people have criticized, torn down, used words very negatively against you. I want to pray for you this morning. Father, I pray, God, would you please help us. If you want to put your heart on your hand, if you want to put your hand on your heart, symbolic of God, would you heal this heart? Father, would you come by the healing power of your Holy Spirit, work in every heart that has been damaged, every heart that's negative things have been said, Lord. God, would you come and would you heal and restore? Would you take away the pain and the power of those destructive words? Father, I'm asking for your incredible healing on the inside by the power of your Holy Spirit. Words of parents, words of friends, words of husbands, wives, children, words of colleagues. Those where words have been spoken that have cut. God, would you come with your healing power, O God? Would you take those pain of those words out in Jesus' name? Cut you off in Jesus' name from the power of those negative words. Release the healing balm of the name of Jesus into your heart, into your soul, into your mind, your memories, your whole spirit, soul, body, in Jesus' name. We think it'd be great just to put a hand on the person that's next to you. If there's two or three, make sure no one's left out. So if there's someone that's not got someone with them.